all of us, and I mean all of us, including myself, have a certain amount of self-righteousness in our heart. Now we say, oh, no, not me. I'm not that way. But we all do to some degree. Now, I don't mean the Pharisaical, condemning, self-righteousness. I just mean all of us. We sort of have a little self-righteousness in our hearts. We like to think we're doing good, and probably better than others. I guess when I grew up, I don't think my parents told me, but, you know, you don't drink, smoke, cuss, and chew and hang around those that do. I mean, I don't know where that phrase came from. And for a long time, I didn't do those things, so I know in my heart, I thought, hey, I'm pretty good. I got to seminary and found out I wasn't. And been a process, found out I definitely need the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Humility means we, in a proactive way, attempt to practice Scripture and leave others alone. Now, by that, I don't mean we don't care and we don't have compassion. But because we all have a little self-righteousness in our heart, we can be judgmental. And we are. Oh, no, I'm never judgmental. Oh, yes, we all, to some degree, make a snap judgment about people. It's in the heart. It may not express itself, but it's there. That's why Jesus came to save us. We need to be proactive in practicing the Scripture. Character involves the way we think and our viewpoint on life. The Bible teaches us how to think. Being a Christian is not just being good. Matter of fact, that really don't have anything to do with being a Christian. It involves thinking. And it involves thinking the way God thinks, because God has revealed himself. Secondly, our thinking affects the attitudes we have about God, life, circumstances, and people. When we come to life, what makes the attitudes in the heart are our thinking. So if my thinking is such that I think, you know, that's a sorry person, and my thinking goes, you know, I'm so much better than they are, then I will develop an attitude of self-righteousness. Or if I think, you know, I don't understand why God does this, and I think God's a little off his rocker sometimes. Oh, wait a minute now. I'm putting myself above God. And that's a way of thinking that produces an attitude. Our attitudes determine our actions and how we accomplish them in a positive or negative way. We all have attitudes. And by attitudes, I don't mean bad attitudes. I just mean we all have an attitude. Happy, sad, positive, negative, loving, bitter, resentful, all sorts of things that roll around in our humanity. We are to meditate on the truth of Scripture in an area of life, prayerfully asking God to produce those attitudes in us. Scripture is designed to conform our thinking, filter down into our hearts and attitudes, and be expressed in our conduct and how we act. And so we're to meditate on the truth of Scripture and let it sink in to us and transform us. James says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice he says the Scripture is the path of liberty. It's not binding. It's not negative. Oh, no, you Christians can't do that. Oh, how terrible it is. No, it's a life of freedom. And all of God's commands are a life of freedom. And when they're not obeyed, there's not freedom. There's bondage and upset and problems. The Scripture is the way that there's freedom. The Bible says, well, let me go back and simply take you into some areas. And I want to show you a little bit of what I'm talking about and to challenge you a little bit tonight. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that tells me? That when I read the Bible, I should at least acknowledge that this came from God, written by human beings and their personalities and their setting, but this is God's word. Then he says, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice, one is doctrine, this Bible teaches me, but it also has two things in there that are negative. It reproves me and it corrects me. Twice it says it. And then it instructs me in the way to go. So when you read your Bible, if you go, "Woo, all I got out of that was, man, hallelujah." Ain't nothing wrong with that. But did it rebuke you? Did it correct you? Did it instruct you in how to be more loving or more patient or this? What I'm getting at, if it's not, there is a certain amount of self-righteousness in us that thinks, "I'm doing it." Well, are you really doing it? Are you really practicing scripture? Are you letting it conform your thinking? And I raise my hand and say, not totally, because I need God's grace. Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray you, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Worship. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven." Praying for his will to be done. "Give us this day our daily bread," for my needs. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Confession of sin. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," being aware of where I may fall and falter. Yeah, preacher, I pray. You do? Yeah, every day. I pray 2 minutes and say, "Oh God, please help me today." Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. But this is what God said in how you pray. So if you don't pray with worship, confession, asking God to take care of your needs, asking God to forgive you and forgive others, are you really practicing the scripture? Now, this is not a challenge on you, an attack upon you. I'm saying, am I really practicing the scripture? There should be a certain amount of humility. If you want freedom, then practice this. You know, a good 15 minutes of worshiping God, taking this hymnal and buying you one or whatever, and spending time in your house just singing him, you know that'll do you more good than all the things that you might be bothered about. And taking a little time to confess your sins. "Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for this. I don't have any." Well, can you tell me your secret? Because I do. I need God's grace. Money. "Every man as he according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Well, preacher, I give. Every Sunday, I give. Right there. There it is, right there. Well, was it out of habit? Was it because you're supposed to? Or in your heart, when you put it in, did you go, "Hallelujah, Lord"? Now, I don't want all y'all to start saying hallelujah when the offering's played. But did you catch that? He loves a cheerful giver. Oh, Lord. Deanne writes a check, and I guess she puts it in there somewhere. I didn't even think about it. Well, maybe I'm not really practicing that. I'm giving, but am I really practicing it? I hope you get my point here. In other words, we all need to develop a little humility and recognition that we may be better than other people, we may be doing good, but are we practicing Scripture? You know what happened if Sunday, well, however you give your tithe, you just took a moment and said, "Lord, I'm so happy to do this. It's wonderful." You know, every Sunday would be a great Sunday just from doing that. "Be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for himself has said, I will in no wise fail thee. Now, what I want you to observe is, if you just take the content, that is something in your mind you should say, Lord, you said that I'm to be content with what I have. That would lead me to the conclusion to say, Lord, thank you for my car, thank you for my house, thank you for my friends, thank you for my church, thank you for my clothes, thank you for this. Or you say, well, I'm happy with it. But are you really actively being content with what you have? See, that's different than just going along. That means practicing the truth of Scripture. Work. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Servants are to be under the authority of their masters, pleasing them in all things, without argument. My boss makes me so mad, I just want to argue with him. Well, that's not what Scripture said. Doing whatever the boss asks, without argument. Now, unless he asks you to do something unscriptural, like go out and murder somebody, then that's different. Not taking what is not theirs, but giving clear signs of their good faith in all things, doing credit to the teaching of God our Savior. I'm going to tell you something. A Christian who works hard, who does a good job, and who carries a kind, gracious attitude will stand out like a sore thumb. They will. Because that's what God says. And there is great freedom in that. Well, preacher, I work hard. I go to my job. But do you do it with the attitude of a testimony, a witness, aware that I'm a Christian? Well, then you're not practicing the Bible. Now, I didn't say you were bad. I didn't say you were awful. I'm just simply saying we all need a little humility and realize that are we really practicing the Scripture? Relationships. Love suffers long. You know what that means? That means you put up with someone a long time. You suffer. Even if mistreated, even if hated, even if they get on your, you suffer long. And then the other side is you're kind. And you don't envy. You don't parade yourself around. You're not puffed up. Oh, look at me. Boy, am I good. I'm really good. No. Does not behave rudely. I didn't know that was love. Yeah. Do you know how many times I've been in the store and somebody has a fit right there in the store and just goes to yelling, and I tell you, I want to run just as hard as I can. And if that person came up to me and said, oh, praise you, Jesus, I say, ma'am, you don't know Jesus. I'm sorry. You are so rude. Do you practice that? It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil, which doesn't mean thinking evil. It means I don't think bad things about everybody. Oh, I know what so-and-so. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Not pleased with whatever anybody's doing. That doesn't mean I'm going to condemn them, but not pleased with it. Rejoice in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. You know what a Christian in grace and character is. A Christian in grace and character is someone who suffers long, is kind, and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, I don't know about you, but in my flesh, boy, you can forget it. But it takes God's grace to practice that truth. Pleasure. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or proud, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, I don't have to worry about that one, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you don't have to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that you do get to enjoy some things in life? And God is the one who provides all those things. Have you said, Lord, thank you, just thank you for the privilege of going out to eat. You provided food. It's just wonderful. Lord, thank you for whatever I enjoy doing. It's wonderful. Well, then you didn't practice the Scripture. I didn't say you were bad. I didn't say you were a sorry Christian. I just said, are you really practicing the scripture. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to yield, willing to share. Okay, I'm going the wrong way, sorry. But she who lives in pleasures is dead while she lives. You know why so many people are unhappy? That's all they want is pleasure. And the Bible says they're dead while they live. Because pleasure is good, but too much of it destroys. Spouse, doesn't apply to everybody, I understand. So husbands ought to love their own wives and their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the truth. See now. Oh, it's probably been 10 years since I beat up on Den. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I can tell you honestly, I don't know if I put that verse in my mind and meditate on it and let it sink down in my heart so that I practice. I have to tell you honestly. Now, what are you doing, preacher? No, I ain't done nothing bad. But I'm not sure I've let that transform my heart. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. A lot of people get all bent out of shape over submission. Well, I'll tell you, the best way to not get bent out of shape over that is to take the word respect. Respect. I respect you. Enemies, I know you don't have any. But it says, repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Notice it said, if possible. It's not always possible. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That includes even your enemies. Bible even says, pray for your enemies. Now, I know you don't have any, but just in case you do, are you practicing that? The church. I'm here, preacher. Isn't that good? I've obeyed God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. I think one of the reasons we come is to publicly declare once and for all to everyone else, we are saved, and we enjoy the other saved people. But notice, and let us consider one another, in order to stir up in love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. When you came tonight, I didn't, but when you came tonight, did you consider the people in the church? Did you think about them? Did you think about their names and who they were? And did you say, I'm going to try to be an encouragement to someone tonight. I'm going to try to say, how you doing? What's going on? Well, then you didn't practice coming to church. But preacher, I'm here. No, you didn't practice what the scripture said. It says the reason we gather, people say, you know what? I can serve the Lord without coming to church. Yes, you might can. I can worship the Lord, but you're not doing what God says because I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And sometimes we need a rebuke. And so we come with the idea, well, considering one another. I wonder how everybody's doing. Now, of course, you can't talk to everybody, but maybe you can talk to some. Say, how you doing? How you doing? In other words, if every Sunday and every Wednesday you came with the idea of thinking about the people in the church and letting that transform your attitude, you might come with a little bit more concern for everyone. And you know what happens when you're concerned about other people? You forget about yourself and you have great joy. Self. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Means just a decency, faithfulness, gentleness, which means submission to God and being gentle and self-control. Family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, what are children supposed to do? They're supposed to learn to obey. But here's something that you don't need to realize. or you realize. Son, daughter, go clean your room. Okay. I know no one's ever done that. They're obeying you, but you know what they're not doing? They're not honoring you. Now, don't go and whack them. Now, preacher didn't say whacking tonight, but pray about it. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, fathers sometimes can get rough, harsh, mean. Don't do it. Meditate on it. Let it sink into the heart. Let God's grace get in there. Speech. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. First of all, no corrupt just means no corrupt. No awful, negative stuff. And the second thing is, only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace. You know what grace is? Grace is giving to someone what they do not deserve. Grace means imparting edification. Preacher, I'm here. But when you went down to Boston or went somewhere and got your mail, did you think and say, Lord, if the opportunity arises, help me to say something good and help me to give grace to someone and treat them with kindness and speak a good word of grace and edification? Oh, I didn't do that one. Well, then you're not practicing the scripture. You're not practicing the scripture. Circumstances. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That was my sermon I gave them on Thanksgiving Day. Stop worrying. Start praying and stay thankful. And I illustrate it this way. When you're driving down a road and there's a huge sign that almost covers the whole road and it say, and it's you're crossing an 8-lane highway and it says stop, the first thing you do is not to run the red light. You stop. And so the Bible says, stop. In Greek, it means stop it. Stop the worrying, and then start to pray. Well, I'll worry, and then I'll start praying. No, you stop the worry, and then you start to pray, and you stay thankful. Here's my point tonight. And I don't mean not beating anybody up. I'm beating me up. Here's my point. There isn't all of us, and I mean all of us, including me, a little self-righteousness. We're doing good. We're serving the Lord. But we need a certain amount of humility to get on our knees and say, Lord, the truth is, I'm not fully practicing what your word said. Because if Jesus were here and you listed 100 commands, Jesus would do every one of them perfectly. Now, in comparison to other people, you're probably better. But the truth is, you and I need a little humility to practice the teaching of Scripture. Now, you mean, preacher, we got to memorize all 1,000 verses? No. But I'm sure one of them hit you tonight. Then learn it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Ask the Spirit of God to create this in your heart and in your life. And believe me, he will. Ask him to work on the inside. Don't be so self-sufficient that I've got it. I've got it, preacher. I'm doing the job. I'm doing good. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not. What are you doing, preacher? Nothing bad. But I can tell you all of those scriptures I read, I'm not sure they're in my mind and heart. But that's the secret of freedom. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we ask you, please, Lord, in Jesus' name, to encourage us and help us to be honest and humble, that we must practice the teachings of Scripture. And whether no one else does it or not, it doesn't matter. If we do it, we will know the greatest freedom in all the world. That's part of what it means to be proactive. Not just to choose, but to choose to meditate, to think, and allow the Scripture to take root in our hearts so that we become more Christ-like. Encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.